cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Wedding Central with myself, Kylie De Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Ntlapo.
We are doing what to expect from a wedding planner.
Yes.
And I was doing a little bit of like soul searching and saying, what do you expect from me when you plan when I plan your wedding? So from my side, obviously, I've steered a little bit a different direction in terms of what I do. So I know, Ntombi, you specialize predominantly in wedding planning. What should a bride expect? Like the starting out, or what? How should we start this?
I think maybe let's start with busting a few misconceptions.
Yes, okay. Cool.
So a lot of brides think that this is what you should be getting from your wedding planner, and then you're disappointed thereafter.
Yeah.
Number one, you're not getting an employee. I think that's.
Yes, that's, I think that it's like
it's so paramount that you understand that.
Imagine, oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's you know, it's always my my first thing. You know, you have to make sure that you understand that you've essentially just gained a team member. You're working with someone, and this person is working with you, not for you.
Yes.
And I think it's a very difficult concept because you, in your mind, you're like, well, I'm paying you a service,
therefore,
you work for me. And that I think also. Also, it trickles down into your relationship. And once your wedding planner starts to feel abused or owned or whatever the case is, your outcome might not be what you want.
Yes.
Purely based on the relationship. So it's very important that you understand that you're not gaining an employee. Mm. Another thing is also a PA.
Yes.
In many ways, we are.
Yes.
But only to wedding-related items.
Yes, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? And I think it starts to, the line starts to get blurry when you have many other people involved. So now,
the mother of the bride.
100%.
All the bridesmaids.
Now it's maid of honor. And, you know, now your planner's dealing with 18 calls for one item. And now you can't keep control of now.
I only deal with the bride. I don't know about you when we do take on a wedding.
100%. I've literally always said to my clients, I'm only dealing with the bride and the groom. Even with my emails, I only ask for one other email to copy. Mm. And only if necessary. Perhaps, you know, if the husband or whatever the case is. But ideally, I want to deal with one person. And that's purely because we're trying to protect ourselves. Yes. You don't want to forget something.
And
or
he said, she said.
You know, now it's a debate. And you know, things get, and now people are upset. And at the worst case scenario is something didn't happen because of this whole, you know, communicating with
or
many things.
Or somebody changed something.
Yes.
This one, no, or...
100%. So you need to understand that one point of communication, and you're not getting a PA for your life. You're getting somebody to assist you
for the planning time that you are planning.
Yeah, for the planning of your wedding. What do you think in terms of wedding planner? When somebody hires a wedding planner, what is a fair expectation to have?
Well, the same thing in terms of they're not there for you at your every beck and call.
Right.
I mean, yes, we are there to plan all the schedules, your budgets, your timing, and all your suppliers. But we don't work 24/7 for you.
Yeah.
Eight hours a day.
Yeah.
We have other weddings.
Surprise.
Unfortunately, yes, we may have a wedding the day after your wedding.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing that clients need to understand is we are a service. We are offering a service and we have a number of clients.
Yeah.
So it's like, for instance, a PR company that would pay, a company would pay you a retainer to be a PR company. And you do a certain amount of work for that period of time. It's basically the same
thing. Yeah.
The PR company services a number of different clients, but they charge that second.
Yeah. I actually like that kind of comparison. Mm. You are a consultant.
Yes.
And I consult with many people.
Yes.
And they've all paid for the, you know, that particular service.
A little piece of you.
Yeah. So it's not unrealistic to find that a wedding planner. And this is, I think, a very good thing to highlight is that I don't know one wedding planner that does one wedding at a time.
No.
That's,
oh God, can you imagine? We wouldn't be
able
wouldn't
to work, yeah.
We wouldn't,
yeah. You can't live off that.
Yeah.
So it's not realistic to expect your planner to have all their attention.
I'm just thinking, can you imagine?
Yeah, it's not possible. So it's not realistic to expect your planner to have
Unless
all the attention.
$25 million.
Oh great. Sure. You can have me. You know what I mean? The whole year. That's great. But yeah, there are other clients and you aren't as much as you are a priority and as much as your business is valued, there are other clients.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you kind of have to see how you need to be flexible. Mm. So as much as they'll try and accommodate you, they still need to accommodate other clients.
So when a client is looking at the option of getting a planner, what does she need to start to look at before or as she goes into this meeting of meeting a wedding planner? What should she be asking?
So for me, I think the main thing with that I find that clients have perhaps a disconnect with is people don't really understand what are you doing?
Yes.
You know, what exactly is the service? Because a lot of people, especially in South Africa, we're not at a stage where, finally we're at a stage where it's not a foreign concept.
Yes.
But it's still a stage where we still have to kind of justify and educate.
And why we,
yes.
Why are we charging what we charge?
100%. And you know, you still have to educate your client and say, you know, this is why, and this is why it's going to be to your benefit, and your wedding's going to, you know, all of those things are still things we still have to go through.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to Europe or the States or wherever, it's a standard. People aren't debating whether to have a wedding planner or not. It's kind of a standard.
It was quite interesting when you heard Colin speak.
100%.
In the international markets, it was like you don't go to, when you've got a sore tooth, you don't go to the dentist, you don't fix the tooth yourself, you go to a dentist.
100%.
So you're planning the biggest day of your life.
Why
not go to a wedding?
100%. You're going to an expert. So I find that we are still at the stage where we have to educate or justify the value of the actual service.
And I think that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yes, 100%, 100%. So now let's get into the nitty gritty. Oh. What exactly should or could your wedding planner be doing for you?
Oh my gosh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Should it be on the day?
Yes.
Beforehand?
Yes.
You know what? I think the first thing a wedding planner will look at is optimizing your budget.
100%.
Not blowing that budget, being realistic with the budget, advising you where is the better option to focus your
money,
budget on, or where can you cut back.
Yeah.
So I think, from a wedding planner's perspective, I think we are there to be realistic about a budget and also try and make sure we're not wasting any money.
100%. And I think that comes down to conceptualizing and design. One thing that people don't realize is that when you consult with a wedding planner, ideally they are getting information from you about what it is you want for your wedding day.
So that they can also start to see your vision.
100%. Mm. They can now turn this into something that's workable, that's within your budget. And I find that a lot of the times clients don't realize that without that conceptualization or without that design, that's where things go wrong.
And that's maybe something a couple should look at when they're starting to look at, okay, what type of wedding planner are we looking for? Are we looking for a wedding planner that is just there to manage schedules, manage budget, and on the day, run the day? Or are we looking for a wedding planner that has to do all of those, but also then take our vision
and turn it into
reality?
100%. Yeah, and this is what I always say. It's exactly what you were saying, Kylie, in terms of if you've got 100,000 rand, the way I spend it and the way you'll spend it will be different, but the way I will spend it will maximize the actual end product.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether it's aesthetics, whether it's your guest experience, whatever the case is, we can see where it's best to spend your money based on that consult and that design.
Yes, and what is more important to you as a couple?
100%.
I mean, with me being in the decor side of things, brides always look at the what it's going to look like and all the beauty and all the big flowers and whatever else, but then they've got no budget for like the bar. I'm like,
that's important.
They're not
going to
have fun if they don't have a little bit of liquor.
100%. Rather just have orchids on the table, like one singular orchid,
exactly.
And then have alcohol. So those kinds of,
you know, maybe you're not an alcoholic. Maybe you're not an alcoholic.
Extremes.
Maybe you don't drink alcohol. Then obviously, then your ideas are different.
Your focus or your priorities are different. Yeah. No, that's 100%. So ideally, you want somebody who's going to conceptualize and design something for you, because again, I always say that if you have a design in mind and a concept in mind, it's always great to have that running. You know, I constantly go back to that concept and that design throughout the planning process. Every time we secure a supplier or we're looking at certain things or whatever the case, I always say, yes, this feeds into it, or no, it doesn't. This now taking us away from this, or now this means we need to redesign completely, because now you've taken us in another direction.
Yeah.
And once you have that design, it's very easy to then start choosing suppliers and all of that stuff, because that kind of dictates your direction.
Yeah.
Another thing that a wedding planner is going to do for you is make sure that you're doing things on time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's not a last minute rush, and that you're like 2 weeks prior to the wedding. You'll know, like, a lot of clients are like, oh my gosh, I just feel like I'm shutting
yes,
out for my
money. Yes.
You know, a wedding planner will probably schedule that so that it doesn't feel like such a
rush
at the end of the, you know, at the towards the end of the wedding planning.
Yes.
Process.
But it's also fair to be said that in order for a wedding planner to do that for you, you need to have money available for that to be done. A lot of things that clients don't realize is that, you know, people put off making appointments for you because there's no cash flow at that point in time to secure something.
Yeah.
There's no point in going to see, you know, your decor markup or going to see venues or going to see your dresses or anything of that sort, because once the invoice comes, people expect payment within 7 to 14 days. Do you know what I mean?
To secure, and that's 100%. How you're securing all your suppliers.
That's it.
Yes, you can meet them tomorrow, but they may be booked the next day because somebody else is coming.
That's it. That's
you know,
it.
That's how they roll.
Yeah. So you need to also, when you're booking a wedding planner, I always say book somebody who you're comfortable talking about money with, because it is a very private subject. Nobody likes to talk about, and it is, we start to know when our clients are getting paid, when they're going to get a big influx of money, et cetera. And people don't want to share that information. Yeah. But unfortunately, when it comes to wedding planning, that information is crucial. Yeah.
When you start engaging that wedding planner, make sure you know what budget you've got, more or less, to spend before you even go.
100%.
You might be going for a consult just to start to understand what it costs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we know what it costs.
Sure.
Somebody who's never done a wedding before
doesn't have an idea. Yeah.
So, you know, but have a fairly good idea of what have you got in the
Yeah. I actually want to speak about the consultation. Mm-hmm. You know, with that consultation, people, I think, have a very different idea of what should be happening in that consultation with a wedding planner.
Okay.
One thing.
What should be happening?
Yeah. So I always say that a consultation, number one, it's not wrong to charge for a consultation and it's not wrong to not charge for a consultation because at the end of the day, it is somebody's time and time is money.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to fault anybody who's charging or not charging. But I think then the expectation should be managed.
Yeah.
The first meeting or your first consultation with a wedding planner is not where she's going to be giving you advice on planning your wedding.
Yeah, or like steering you in, these are the people you should use.
Yes,
yeah.
That's not the platform.
Yeah.
It's more of an exchange of information.
Yes.
You are getting more information about your wedding planner and how they operate and how they can assist you with your particular wedding. And, you know, you're trying to find out, is this the person for you?
Mm.
And they are trying to find out more information about your particular wedding, who you guys are as a couple and what they can do for you. So it really is more of an exchange of information. Don't go to a wedding planner. You know, sometimes I find a client sits down and it's almost like they want you to wow them. You know, show me what you've got. Or
show me what you've done.
Yes, or show me what you've done or whatever. Yes, of course.
How many celebrity weddings have you done?
Exactly. Name drop this and where have you been and that kind of thing. And that's not what that particular meeting is for.
Yeah.
That is stuff that I think you should have done in terms of your research before meeting your wedding planner and seeing if, shucks, is this the kind of person? Is this the work that I want? Yeah, is this the caliber that you're looking for? So that when you get to that meeting, it really is an exchange of information where you guys can reach the end of that meeting and see if both of you can possibly work together, you know, throughout this journey.
And that meeting, on average, what would a bride or couple expect that length to be?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours minimum.
Okay.
Because it's a lot.
You're
covering so many details and, you know, you need all of that information in order to, you know, do your concept, do your design and start moving forward. And I find a lot of the times, like you're saying, it is a lot of educational. You know, first off, you know, I'm fine. You're educating the client about what exactly the service includes and what it doesn't include because, you know, that needs to be clarified.
So what does it include? Obviously every planner is different.
Right.
They have different strengths, they have different weaknesses, and they have different passions as
well. Yes.
So what typically would wedding planning include?
Yeah. Generally, and I'm going to speak about full wedding planning because that's usually what, you know, your clients will go for. Of course, you can get, and I'm sure we'll get into it later about the different packages and standalone services or whatever. But comprehensive wedding planning should usually include some kind of a concept and designed element to the service. So this is somebody who's going to take your ideas and turn it into something that's workable for your budget, for your timeline, and for what, you know, your venue allows or whatever the case is.
And give you a realistic view.
100%. Yes, 100%. And my whole thing is, guys, be realistic. You know, even for new wedding planners, old wedding planners, everybody who's in the industry, I'm not a fan of people, you know, telling a client that, yes, you can do this for 120,000 Rand, where realistically you know that you can't. Because my whole thing is that if somebody asked you for an extra 10,000 Rand today, would you be able to give them 10,000 Rand today? It's not fair then. If you can't do it, why would you expect a client to be able to have an extra 50,000 Rand?
Just lying around.
You know, you can't just grow. Yeah, you know what I mean? If you do, contact me, please. But I mean, people don't have that extra money available. So be realistic with your clients. I would rather a client say to me, you know, I'd rather postpone now and we'll do it a year later with a better budget than forcing to do something within a budget that's, you know, not possible.
How often do you find that they come to you, they consult, you consult with them, and then they start to realize, okay, right, now's not the time?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10.
And I think it's going to happen more and more now.
Yeah, a lot of my clients don't know how much weddings cost. And it sucks to tell somebody that 250,000 Rand is not enough because it's a lot of money. I understand it's a lot of money. But, you know, when people start speaking about the scales and they start showing you, you know, their Pinterest photos and, you know, the things that they like and whatnot. Yeah, you know what I mean? And for me, you know, all of my weddings are, you know, 200, 300, 400 people. So, you know, already I'm dealing with, you know, big numbers. And a lot of the times I have to educate my clients and say, it's actually not possible with this budget. With this budget, we can do this. But if we want to do what you want to do, this is the honest budget that you're looking at. And I find that I have a lot of clients who still book me because I was honest.
Yes.
It wasn't about trying to just book the client or whatever the case is. And I do have a lot of clients who go away and come back a year later or a year and a half later. Yes, because I did educate them and I did let them know this is what it's going to cost. And they come back and they say, right, and don't be, now we've got the money we've saved. Yeah. Now let's do it or whatever the case is. And that's so, so much better. Mm-hmm. Okay, but in terms of the full planning. So you have some kind of a concept element. Then, of course, you have budget management. Mm. It's so, so very important. So like we're saying,
it all comes down to money.
It always, always, always comes down to money. You want to have somebody who constantly is aware of how much, and like Colin said, you want somebody who's going to respect your money.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Not somebody who's just going to go around booking things for you and, you know, client will deal with it. And I always say, I don't care what my client drives. I don't care, you know, where you live or what house you live in or whatever the case is. If you've said to me, this is how much you have to spend, that's what I have to respect.
Yeah.
I can't be like, oh no, but she drives a Range, so we're just going to go with this or whatever the case is. If this is what's given, then, you know, you need to respect and manage that. Then, of course, it's the scheduling.
Mm.
Like we said.
Yeah, and the sites,
all
your vendors.
Yeah,
that kind of
all of that. Yeah, so I'm going to get to that. So scheduling, making sure that you're doing everything within reasonable time. So you don't want to be searching for your dress 2 months before your wedding date because you won't actually get a dress within that time. So, you know, if that is your time frame, then it's better to design, whatever, whatever. But making sure that you're doing things within reasonable time frames.
And it's not going to stress you out.
Yeah, and it's not going to stress you out. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, and with the scheduling, some clients, I think this is what should be happening. A lot of wedding planners will be making your appointments for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the scheduling works. So it's a lot of managing diaries, and you will then have to check with your people if they can make it or whatever the case is. But they are trying to manage your diary with your supplier's diary and make sure that everyone's available for certain times. So there's that. And then, of course, is the whole supplier bit.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want people to understand is that, you know, people don't choose suppliers on a whim. I'm not sending you somewhere just because I like those people or whatever the case is. There's a lot of things that wedding planners take into consideration. And I always say, first things first, supplier matching. People don't realize that there are gazillion suppliers for gazillion services. Do you know what I mean? You know, if you just look in wedding decor, you know, on Google, millions of hits. But the thing is that different suppliers specialize in different things. Their taste, their quality, how they work on the day, the size of their team, the quality of their flowers, their creativity, all of those things start to contribute in how I now select which supplier is going to match this particular client best, as well as personality, especially when you're looking at people that are going to be working closely with your clients. So people like the photographer and the DJ, those kinds of things, are personality is a huge, huge factor.
I mean, especially the DJ, the photographer.
If those people don't get along, you can forget. No. It's not going to work. So, you know, your wedding planner is going to go through supplier matching. And then they're also going to go through, you know, briefing your supplier. It's very important. People don't realize how much work actually goes into briefing a supplier so that you can get a proper outcome. You can't be vague. And the amount of time that goes into briefing your supplier, then the quotations, checking quotations, comparing quotations. You shouldn't be getting a wedding planner that only gives you one quotation. You do want somebody who's going to compare, you know, somebody who's going to give you the best. And I always say, price is not the main thing here, it's value. Yeah. Are you getting value for money? You know,
can they get the vision of the client as well?
That's exactly right. Are they contributing to the full design? And I always say, you know, the most expensive person is not always the best, but neither is the cheapest. So it really is about what is the supplier adding in terms of value. And then, of course, it's your logistics with that particular supplier. And then, obviously, the on-the-day management. So, in terms of how many suppliers your client, your wedding planner is doing that process with.
What's the average?
I average about 15 suppliers per wedding.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've done a wedding. Yeah.
28.
100%, 100%. You can get really huge numbers, but you know, minimum you're looking at about between 12 and 15. That's kind of average of suppliers. But you know, if you look at the comparison process, if your wedding planner is getting three quotes per
everything,
that number times by three. You know what I mean? It's a lot. It's a lot of communication that your wedding planner is dealing with. Mm-hmm. And then of course you're going to have your setup management, and you're going to have your on the day management, as well as your breakdown management. Mm-hmm. And that's usually like the full house service that you get from wedding planners.
What on average does a wedding planner, how many hours does a wedding planner spend on your wedding, on the day of the wedding?
On the day, you're looking at about anywhere, I'd say minimum 14 hours.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
If
depends
on just on that day. Like if you are getting married on the 10th of November, then on the 10th of November, you're working minimum 14 hours. But you could go up to 18 hours. Hell, you could work 24 hours.
We do what we do till it's done.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's no cut off time. But I mean, in terms of hours that a wedding planner spends on your wedding in totality, you're looking at anywhere from minimum, I always say minimum about 750 hours, all the way up to 1,000, 1,005 hours, depending on. And those hours you need to look at including.
I think we've discussed this before.
Yeah, yeah. We've touched on it.
I sat and I was like.
And you shocked yourself. but yeah, you're looking, if you're looking at 750, and I'm including in that time, you know, all the driving time, the call times, the meeting times, you know, all the time you spend in front of the computer, all of that, you know, if you calculate every single minute, you're looking at minimum about 750 hours, all the way up to about 1,000, 1,500 hours per wedding.
Can you, once your client is, once you've actually given all the details of, and your bride has actually booked her suppliers and things like that, she's paid her deposits, from a wedding planner's perspective, do you go to every meeting, whether it be the briefing meeting, whether it be just the meet and greet, whether it be your mock-up, your final meetings? Can the bride expect the planner to be at every single thing, like dress fittings, like nipping and
cutting the
last bit of alterations on the dress,
like every single cake tastings and whatnot? It's not realistic. It's not a realistic expectation to expect your wedding planner to be at every single meeting. There are meetings that absolutely make the wedding that your wedding planner would not miss. And then there are meetings that are nice to have. Yeah. So especially if I know the supplier and that kind of thing, I don't necessarily need to be at the meeting where they're meeting the photographer. I know the photographer. I know the prices. I know what the outcome will be. That meeting, again, is more of an exchange of information and making sure that your personalities get along well enough that you guys are able to cope on the day of the wedding. So I won't necessarily be there for that. But it changes for different. I've heard of different wedding planners who do go to every single meeting. And if that's the kind of thing that you require from your wedding planner, then that's a better fit for you. Do you know what I mean? I always say with this wedding planning thing, there's so many different ways that people that I do for a living. There's so many different ways that people do it. And it's not fair to say that's wrong or that's right or whatever. It does create, I find in South Africa especially, it does create a bit of a gap or friction or whatever the case is, because people are now worried about, you know, if this person is providing this particular service this way, then am I forced to do it that particular way as well? But I think that's the same cry with every industry.
But I think that comes down to when you have that initial meeting.
Yeah.
You and the bride need to actually understand exactly. I know. 100%. We had a client come in on Monday. She's getting married 1st of July. Like, literally, we are from start to finish.
Right.
You know? And I must be honest, I like planning short weddings because there's, you know, you don't
very little room for changing of minds. And
you literally got to do and done.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I was going with that, but
how people, how many?
I said to her with the dress, like, do you want me to come to every dress fitting? I am not a girly type of girl.
So yeah.
I know that is not my strength. And for me to go and say, oh, that looks pretty, when it does, but it's maybe
it's not a valuable input.
I'm not a dress stylist, so right. I'm not going to offer those services.
Right.
I can come with you. I can give you my opinion, but
right.
I really wouldn't value my opinion.
Yeah.
Being the record player and all of that. But, you know, so you've got to find out what I always ask the client.
100%.
How far do you want me to go into?
100%. And I think that's totally fair, because mm-hmm. I think in reality, the main thing is managing expectations.
Yes.
And if you expect one thing and something else is delivered, then you're always constantly going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So be upfront with what it is you expect. If you do want a phone call every day and an SMS and, you know, an update meeting every week or whatever the case is, say those things so that your wedding planner is aware, because mm-hmm. you don't want to be disappointed further down the line and now you've spent all this money and now, you know, you're stuck, and you never want to feel stuck with someone. You want to have the options of, you know, do I move or whatever the case is. So,
and I think that's so important. And I found especially younger clients, they really want you to hold their hand.
100%.
You have the more mature clients who are maybe an executive. They really couldn't give two hoots about all
the little bits and pieces.
Email them every. It's just a decision, and you don't have to literally keep them informed on everything. So, but maybe you are that type of person, and you
need that, and you need that. Yeah. And again, communicating and being honest. You know, I'm always upfront with my clients, mm-hmm. and I say, you know, this is so much that I can give you, and these are so many updates that I can give you. And this is realistically how we operate. And I always say, you know, it's the same thing Colin Covey said. You know, if it's worked for so many other clients, I don't think for our business model it mm-hmm. should change for one particular client.
Yes.
It's worked, and how we work has guaranteed our outcomes. So this is how we work. And if it works for you, great, let's do it together. If not, you know, all the best and on your way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of costs, you know, for full wedding planning, I think it's fair to get into that, because I think also people have a warped perception mm. of how much wedding planning could possibly cost.
Mm.
You know, if I say to you, if you speak to anyone, a lawyer, mm. accountant, anybody who charges per hour, and they tell you how many hours they rack up in a month,
mm.
they get paid at the end of the month based on the amount of hours. So if we're telling you 750 hours, mm. you know what I mean, minimum, even if you charged, I don't know, minimum 100 rand an hour, that's already 75,000 rand.
Mm.
On full wedding planning. Do you know what I mean? And you have to be...
We really have scared ourselves every time we talk about
it. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I've come to terms with it, and I've said, you know, but if you look at... And I've really looked at, you know, how much work you put and how much commitment you put into a wedding. And also your clients always realize after the day of the wedding. Because it's very difficult, I think, for somebody to quantify phone calls and meetings and like brain power. Do you know what I mean?
Fabulous if you could come up with some sort of app or some sort of program that
yes.
you could actually program, like what lawyers do for
yes.
every phone call they charge you.
Exactly, exactly. And you get an invoice.
Yeah.
Tweet, tweet. There's 12 minute phone call at 9 o'clock
so
at
cool.
night. Yeah.
To do the exercise, actually.
Yeah. So you know what I wanted to get at is, yes, there are people that are gonna charge 5,000 rand. And call it full wedding planning or whatever the case is. And I don't know how. I don't know how
they're
making money. I don't know how they're able to provide the service. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know how they would get to that. But my whole thing is that you need to be realistic in terms of the amount of hours that are going into your wedding and the amount of work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you've gone and sought out a professional to help you,
mm-hmm.
that already says to me, you realize the amount of work that needs to go into, you know, planning your wedding if you want your wedding to be a certain outcome. So I always say realistically, minimum you should be looking at anywhere from about 20,000 rand.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Absolute
like,
minimum.
absolute minimum. But, you know, realistic, in this day and age, people are starting at about 35, 40, 50,000 rand and anywhere going up. Then that's a flat fee. You know, some planners charge like a flat rate fee. Then there are some planners that charge a percentage. And I'm not at all saying that that's wrong, but I'm just saying be aware that there is a percentage charge. And they could charge anywhere from 10% of the cost of your entire wedding all the way up to 25% of the entire cost of your wedding. And that then really does depend on your budget. So within, of course, your contract would be very key in terms of exactly what is charged 25% on or the percentage is charged on, but it is another way that people are charging. So if, for example, your wedding is R1 million, then that means that planner gets 250,000 rand if they are charging 25% of that particular wedding, and that's just how it is. And that cost, unfortunately, sorry to jump in your mouth there, and that cost does not include any travel and accommodation should that be required. Yeah. So if you've booked a wedding planner that's based in Johannesburg and you want to get married in Cape Town, then any travel and accommodation for the planner and their team would need to then be paid for over and above that particular cost, because that is the cost for service and service alone. Everything else would be in addition. And sometimes when people hear, oh, you know, somebody charging 150,000 rand for wedding planning, that's, and then they say, yeah, but it's just for wedding planning. That's the service, people. It does not include.
That's only 200 rand an hour.
That's only 200 rand an hour. You know, and I, if you ask somebody, would you charge 200 rand per hour? No, at work I charge, you know, 475 rand, 840 rand or whatever per hour. And you're saying, you're asking this person to charge even less than 100 rand per hour.
I mean, if you work on a flat rate fee of, say, 40,000 rand, right, which there are a lot of planners out there that's
their fee.
Some are a little bit less.
Right.
40,000 rand for 750 hours, it's 53 rand an hour.
I mean.
You know, so, yeah, brides, just take, put.
Understand.
Put yourself in those shoes.
100%. Understand. And
that include, that's all inclusive of, like, your telephone calls,
meetings,
your staff,
petrols,
costs, all of that.
All of that stuff. And pure expertise, you know, the skill level, that's what you're paying for. So do keep in mind that it's not a cheap service, you know, and I don't want to paint that picture. It's definitely a service worth having, but it's a service that you're definitely going to pay for, realistically. Now, let's say you can't afford full on wedding planning, right? Carly, what else can I possibly go to a wedding planner for? This is now somebody who only does standalone wedding planning, not somebody who does and decor and what and what.
I mean, it depends on the bride and groom or the couple themselves. They may want to plan their wedding. They want to attempt to do it and then just on the day pull it together. Then you've got on the day coordination. And that's literally, that coordinator is there from start to finish of that wedding. So from 8 or 7, whenever you're setting up, depending on the logistics side of it,
right
up until 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Nice. So my thing with on the day planning is, I think the name is always, it's so difficult.
And a lot of planners are, and I've spoken to a lot in the last
month
or so, a lot of people are staying clear from it.
Yeah, we've stopped offering it this year. It just, you know what? It's just not worth the risk. And why we say worth the risk is like, we have no idea what you've planned. Yeah. We have no idea how you got to those decisions. And then
the supply, it's not you don't have an idea.
Yes.
We do to a point, because there's, you know, we come in a good couple of weeks
before, yes,
but it's who you've chosen,
yes, and the quality, yes, and the quality thereof.
Remember that one wedding,
babes, it almost stopped you dead.
We were just like, and Tombi says, I'll support you if we walk out right now.
It was such a viable option at that point.
It was literally, because it was going to ruin the reputation that we've built.
This is the thing. It becomes such a huge risk. So the thing with on the day is that obviously your wedding planner is going to jump in a couple of weeks beforehand, and they're going to do some kind of a handover, and then they should be doing some kind of recommendation. So once you've handed over all your... Yes, they should be doing the logistics for the day. You know, they'll they'll kind of build your function sheet for the day. But you need to have all your information ready. So all of your invoices and all of the briefs that you've given the suppliers. Because another thing is, you don't want that he said no, but you said you I only had to pay this and you were only going to bring this or whatever the case is. All of your information ready. That needs to be confirmed with all of the suppliers. Then schedules are brought up for the day, and then they'll manage everything on there for you on the day.
Deliveries take place, that they're delivering what you've ordered.
Exactly. Everything happens the way you had planned, and you can actually relax and enjoy your day and getting ready with your bridesmaids and that kind of thing.
Talk about, like, on the day, especially when you booked your own suppliers. A couple need to give the planner or the coordinator for the day a bit of leeway, because, for instance, that the one wedding, they had brought in a dance floor, and the setup crew worked through the night to try and get that dance floor right. And on the morning at like 4:30 in the morning, I walked in and I was just like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
People are going to hurt themselves. Yeah. They cannot dance on this dance floor.
100%.
The bride you can't get hold of, the groom you can't get hold of. It's, you know,
executive decision time.
You have to allow that coordinator to be able to have to make an executive decision.
Yeah.
And there's going to be cost implications. 100%.
100%. I think it's also fair that, you know, wedding planners and suppliers that are in the industry, it's very important that you take note of that. Mm. You know, a lot of people just let things happen because that's what was paid for. Fight for the right thing. If something is delivered and it's not right and it's not working, make the choice to either, you know, go up to the supplier and correct it and make sure that they go back and they fetch the right one or whatever. Because a lot of times people will be like, oh, it's so far, or the trucks are all out, or, you know, all these other excuses or whatever the case. You know, now I have to deal with it. Absolutely not. Mm. If the client has paid for one thing and this is what's been agreed on, and something else is delivered, then make sure that it's fixed with that particular supplier. And if not, like Carly's saying, you need to give the power to your wedding planner, whoever you've chosen, to be able to make executive decisions on your behalf that you will then have to pay for after the fact.
And it becomes sometimes
hot issue. Hot issue. People don't react. But then again, it just does.
It makes you start to think, as a on the day coordinator, maybe you should take a refundable deposit,
yeah, so that you're able to pay for these things,
so that you can actually make that decision. And
I don't think that's a terrible idea. I don't think it's a terrible idea. And people that are or do offer that service, and clients that are looking into that service, I think you should look into having that extra bit of kitty that you're going to give to your wedding planner, whoever's in charge, so that they are able to make those decisions on the day. You know, especially if a wedding's going to be happening at home, there's so many small things that people don't think of. Even staff costs. Now we need an extra 4 people, but they haven't been paid for,
or
ice, or, you know, glasses, or whatever the case is. Yes, ice. Yes.
And he's gonna get it.
Exactly. Now I must drive to the garage and empty the freezer into my car, whatever. So,
question, in terms of a wedding planner, when you book a wedding planner, do you just book the wedding planner, or as a couple, can you expect that person to have an assistant? Are you booking a wedding planner plus her team?
So I think this is something, again, that you as a couple need to be comfortable with. Wedding planners are small businesses, incredibly small businesses. A lot of them are one-man businesses where they have ad hoc staff that come in on the day of the wedding, but their offices operate as themselves. Mm. You know what I mean? A lot of them may not even have an office. They may, you know, operate working from home, or have a coffee shop, or whatever the case is. You know, that's where you may do your meetings. And if you're not comfortable with that situation, then maybe that's not the person that fits for you. But it's not, I don't know. Some have assistants, some have full teams of 6, 8, 12 people, and some are one-man shows. And it's just a matter of, are you comfortable with that particular thing?
If it is a one-man or one-lady or business, what happens if something had to happen to her on the day of the wedding? How can a client ensure and trust that planner, but then also ensure if there is a what happens?
You see, that I don't think is the client's baby. However, it is up to the business owner to have an answer for that question.
But ask the question.
You have to ask the question, because what if, God forbid, there's a car accident? It's not even a matter of this person wasn't coming to the wedding or whatever. What if something does happen? They get bronchitis, whatever. They cannot now make it to the wedding.
Will still be at the wedding.
I mean, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Literally life or death had to take me away. But anyway, what if something happens and they can't come? And you need to have an answer to that question. And they need to let you know what is the action plan should that be the case.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to just be like, oh, it's never happened before. That's not an answer.
Yeah.
You really do have to have a concrete answer or a plan of action of what's actually going to offer. What's actually going to happen. Another service that's on the rise in terms of wedding planners is somebody who's going to manage purely all the decor elements for you. They call it decor styling. So essentially, this does not mean your wedding planner is the decor person. It's not the person that does the flowers or the decor. Yeah. It's purely somebody who's going to manage your design of everything aesthetic. So everything that's pretty and everything that looks nice and your decor and that kind of thing. And they're going to design everything around that. And you're going to give them a particular budget for that particular item.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will then do all of the briefing and the, you know, getting supplies and comparisons or whatever else, but purely only for decor supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your florists, your decor hire items, your furniture, your lighting, those elements, not necessarily your attire and your, you know, those kinds of things. That's not part of that service. So you can hire somebody to manage, because people do figure that the decor is a huge element.
Mm.
And it's also a huge budget element. You know, other than your venue, your decor does take quite a lot of your budget. So you may say, okay, well, maybe it's a cost thing or a comfort thing. Let's get somebody to manage only that. And maybe on the day, maybe you'll couple the services instead of doing the full on planning.
Yeah.
That's still available.
Then when it comes to rehearsals and rehearsal dinners, can you expect your planner to be at the rehearsal dinner and be at the actual rehearsal of the wedding?
I always say to my clients, I'm your wedding planner. That's what I've been hired for. And rehearsal dinners is a new thing for South Africans. It's not our thing, actually, you know, to be honest.
Actually, you would actually charge a separate service for that.
100%. It's a separate service fee. You know, a lot of your clients will say to you...
Rehearsal dinner,
yeah. Rehearsal dinner. But a lot of your clients will say it's the same as bachelorettes and all of those things. You think because you've hired a wedding planner, now your wedding, now they must do all the functions that are associated with the wedding.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like
that.
Yes, so I know.
We're not booking any schedule. 100%. We're not scheduling anything on that day.
100%.
But we're not planning it.
Yeah, because another function means another function. I need to then plan an entire, that means an additional fee for that particular function. You've paid me for your wedding. Anything else is in addition to.
But you can expect your planner to be at the rehearsal. She is a major part of
100%.
The rehearsal.
Yeah. And the rehearsal, you know, one thing people must understand, the rehearsal is not, it's not a huge theater production.
Huge thing.
Like, chill out.
If you've got a wedding planner, I feel.
Right.
You actually don't need to have a rehearsal.
To be honest, yes. Because I always say, I mean, it's basically people practicing how to walk, which we all know how to do, and standing which side or whatever the case is. I will say, if you are getting married in a church, perhaps Catholic or Anglican or whatever the case is, then it's actually necessary because the priest has particular rules on, you know, when you must stand and what and what and what. And that's fine. But, you know, for normal ceremonies that are happening in the chapel, then it really is a matter of walking, and I'm standing right at the door usually anyway, so I can tell you go now and smile and stand on the left, you know.
Everything is tucked in
and you know the back of the dress is fine and all of those things. That's not a huge thing, but your rehearsal is not supposed to be this huge thing. And if you want to do any dance routines or whatever the case is, that's not a rehearsal that your wedding planner is concerned with. That is something you got to do on your own time with your bridal party and make sure that it's right. You know what I mean? But rehearsal dinners is a full-on function, you know, catering, you know, photography, a little bit of decor, whatever. All of those things require planning and require time. And if anywhere it's important, it's here. You know, time is money, and any extra time that you need from me, I have to charge additional.
And I find sometimes the rehearsal dinner is like done the night before. And
not a good idea.
To have a fabulous time, and then when it comes to the wedding, they're all tired. hungover
is the main thing, yeah, because it's very difficult to like pull yourself out of a hangover. Yeah.
Then, like, after the wedding, what can a client expect from a wedding planner?
Yeah, you know, your wedding planner's job is not done until you get your photographs and your videos. But even before that, there's a lot of breakable deposits that you've paid on a lot of things, decor, cutlery, whatever the case is. And that stuff needs to be paid back. Mm-hmm. And your wedding planner should be managing the admin around that, yeah, making sure. Yeah, you're usually not here. Oh, honeymoons in South Africa, it's starting to become touchy now, yeah, with, you know, amounts of money or whatever the case is. But you're usually unavailable maybe for that particular thing.
And make sure as a client, you are, or as a couple, you've given the banking details to your wedding planner.
Where they need to be refunded.
So she can make sure while you're away, those refunds are happening.
Yeah, 100%. So they'll be managing that. Anything that needs to be returned, any higher items, you know, your hoop skirt for your dresses, any suits that need to be ripped, you know, veils are now on hire. All of those things need to be returned. So your wedding planner should be able to take care of all of those details for you. And of course, make sure that you do receive your photos and your video. That is when the job is really over.
Yeah. And then, like, for instance, the day after the wedding, when everyone's doing all the collections, as the planner, you generally have either you or somebody in your team making sure when the truck comes for the cutlery and crockery, that is going back.
Yeah.
And that is one of our dirty jobs, hey?
Yeah. I hate it. I hate it. I don't think there's anything I hate more than breakdown in the world. Yeah. I want to die a little bit.
Especially when you've provided your own cutlery.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, because you have to count, you have to, I mean, it can be rotting, it's glasses, it's all kinds of things. It really is a horrific, horrific, horrific job. And can you imagine if you've got, you know, if you had 400 guests and you've done all the glassware, cutlery and the crockery, you usually have over 2,000 pieces, yeah, you know, that you need to count of each item. And it just, it's a full day job and whatnot.
And it's back-breaking,
isn't it? It really is. Yeah. And already, even the wedding planning, even the wedding on the day, it's a lot of physical labor. So
you had a wedding recently and you actually counted your steps. And I remember, how many kilometers did you do in that day?
Yeah, I did about 14 kilometers.
14 kilometers.
Yeah. On average, on a wedding day, I do about 10.
Yeah.
Kilometers with my feet, and that's if I have like my phone on me. I don't know how many times. I don't even know how I. Yes, or something like that. So you know, you do a lot of distance, and it's a lot of carrying, and it's a lot of stress, and people don't realize how much work. I mean, we love it. It you know, I don't think anybody could get into this if they didn't love it somehow.
There's, like sometimes on the day, you're like, why do I do this? Especially when it gets to about 10 o'clock, and every part of your body is killing you.
Yeah. I mean, it happens so many times where people can't even drive home because their legs are seizing.
Yes.
Like, you cannot change gears. You cannot press on anything.
Well, you bend down and you're stuck there. It happens to me. I'm like,
geez,
and I go,
Yeah.
But, you know, we put ourselves through a lot on behalf of our clients. And I think that is physically, mentally,
and emotionally.
Let's talk about that. Right. The emotion that you go through with people, as a wedding planner.
Yeah, I mean, I still to this day cry at all of my weddings. At some point, I will be in a corner. You know, it's bitter. It's bittersweet. It's number one, relief. Because it's a lot. It's been months of planning, and you're so stressed about, you know, if my client's not happy, you know, it could be. Because my whole thing is, first and foremost, I don't want to spoil your wedding day.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, like the overriding factor, because, you know, it's such a huge part of somebody's memories, and they're starting their new life, and you don't want them to look back on this day and be like, oh, my word. You know what I mean? So, you know, number one, you know, is this person happy? And number two, it's been months and months of planning and stressing and all of that stuff. And phew, it's come together.
Yeah.
So number one is relief. Number two, it's genuine happiness for my clients. You know, it's love, and you see their families, and everybody's so crazy, crazy happy. But I cannot tell you, like, it's also a little bit of a cry of the end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you are so emotionally invested.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's something you can help. There is no switch off.
No, it's like how much emotion does a bride experience planning her wedding?
Yeah.
We're doing that every single
time
day.
Yeah.
We're planning a wedding.
Yeah, 100%. So it's a lot of emotion that goes into it. And a lot of, and with that emotion, you know, the stress and the pressure that comes with that is so, so, so much. I mean, the divorce rate in the wedding industry is crazy, crazy high, because it's a lot of commitment that we give our clients, and you just find that, you know, by the time people get home, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't have time. Now I have to service you too.
So it is a huge, huge commitment. And it is,
I mean, you look at the wedding industry, it's made up of a lot of people who've endured a lot in their relationships.
So it really is a lot. When you are choosing a wedding planner, I think it's fundamental that you choose someone that you genuinely like.
Yeah.
And I don't care about, I always say, you know, leave your expectations, you know, at the door, whatever. Yes, do your research. I think research just helps you understand if somebody's credible and if they're able to deliver on what they've said. And once you've ticked those boxes, then go into this first meeting with an open mind and really try and figure out if this relationship can really work for the both of you.
It comes down to, like, yes, you can go on people's reputation and their credibility, but don't just go and choose a planner because they've got this massive name out there. They've maybe done a couple of celebrity planners and whatever else. It's all great in the amount of Instagram followers and Facebook. Do you genuinely like that person?
It's crucial.
You don't want that person to constantly be putting their ideas on you all the time and their style and stuff. You want somebody to be able to bring your personalities out in their own wedding.
Yeah, and it's a relationship, so they need to be give and take. So both of you need to be contributing to the relationship. So you need to choose somebody that you're able to talk with and you're able to gel with, and somebody who you know trust and trust wholeheartedly. You know, a lot of my clients, especially when we start to get towards the end of the process and the wedding is drawing closer, they'll always say, oh, thank goodness that we trusted you with this, or whatever the case is. Because people don't realize, you know, you are kind of having to trust a stranger to tell you how to spend many thousands of money. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a lot. So, there is a huge, huge trust element to it. But I think the main lessons is find out what you're paying for and figure out if this person works with you, if this person can work with you, can you guys build this relationship? Because it's a long time. I mean, you can plan a wedding. Some people plan for over 2 years.
No, it's crazy.
You know what I mean? So, and also communication styles and trust, and also just the end product. Is this person, you know, based on their portfolio, whatever, are you going to get the result that you're looking for?
So I hope we've answered some of your questions. We've given you a little bit of insight about the world of
wedding
planning services. Yeah. So it's really a fabulous thing for us to do. We love doing it.
Yeah.
And we hope we've shed some light on it today.
Thanks so much. CliffCentral.com.